Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. This one is Dearth of Discernment. And as normal, I've got a lot of links, quite a few of them, in fact, at the top of the transcript before we get into the main subject of our discussion today. A couple of them I'd like to point out to you real quickly. There's one that's called Still Silent Shepherd, An Open Letter to Post-Pandemic Pastors. Excellent stuff. And I believe the writer is very accurate in how he has assessed many pastors and churches today. There's another short video, Spike Protein is Very Dangerous. This is a doctor's roundtable, and it's about 15 minutes long, and you would do well to watch that and consider the information that's presented. Number of other articles there that are linked that you should take the time to kind of peruse through and search. All right, let's get going. In Revelation 2-3, chapters 2-3, the Apostle John takes dictation from Jesus concerning seven specific churches that were in Asia Minor. Now, only two of the churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, are praised and not taken to task by our Lord. The other five? Well, all of them had problems in spite of the fact that they had good things going for them as reported by our Lord. Now, again, this was for seven specific churches, and as we've discussed before, many conservative Bible scholars believe that there is an application across the entirety of church history that's appropriate with our current day mirroring specifically the situation involving the Laodicean church, noted for its quote-unquote lukewarm attitude toward Jesus. These people had grown cold, but they weren't completely iced over because they hadn't fully turned their back on Jesus. They were also not hot. They weren't fully sold out to him anymore either. This created a lukewarm attitude, and this rightly concerned Jesus. Now, the people at Laodicea had done this by compromising with the world. They had either embraced, accepted, or simply put up with more worldliness inside their church. That fact had pulled them slowly but consistently away from Jesus by dulling their commitment to him. Now, let me ask you a question. If five out of seven churches then, and remember, this is around 95 to 96 AD, if that many churches, five out of seven, were called out for their compromise and complacency, how much more would individual churches and denominations of today have the same type of problem and worse? I'm hearing from folks how difficult it is for them to find a church where the pastor preaches expositionally and from a truly biblical perspective, where the music is God-honoring and where people come together to worship the Lord as their primary reason for gathering. Folks who cannot find these type of churches, well, they're wondering, what do we do? Where do we go? Well, fortunately, we live in an age of internet that can be a blessing of sorts, allowing connecting people with others whose goal is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But truth today seems to be up for grabs. And I also think that since Christians in America have had it easy for so long, I mean, let's be honest, we really have. We have been taken by surprise because of what has transpired over the past year and a half, specifically with CV-19. No one was expecting it. And what occurred in society because of it, forced on us by politicians who keep saying they want to keep us safe. Yet, people are dying from the CV vax and they're being injured in droves, and no one seems to care about that. During the quote-unquote pandemic, everything at hospitals was pretty much shut down except for people who had supposedly COVID. Cancer people died. Others died of other problems because they could not get medical care. So it's just obvious to thinking people what's going on. Many, many people, including pastors, applaud what the government has done, either not realizing or caring that the government's illegal overreach here in the United States has forced churches to close. And congregants were being fined way back when, early on, for quote-unquote illegal gatherings, and has placed numerous pastors in jail or with a threat of jail and or major fines. Some people even want longer periods of shutdown, having, you know, gladly taken the CV-19 jab, and they insist that everyone take it. This is the growing fascism, not just in America, but throughout the world. And it is enabled by non-thinking people. The America we grew up with is forcibly being killed, being replaced by a new world order precipitated by a quote-unquote great reset as envisioned by organizations and people associated with World Economic Forum, founded by Klaus Schwab and others. Now, I'm fairly certain there's no going back to whatever we had before. Globalist organizations are not stopping. It's pedal to the metal. They're now warning us of an impending danger of a new Delta variant of COVID-19 that is going to hit supposedly this fall. I can only wonder how they know this. Moreover, they continue to push critical race theory, CRT, which is the false belief that all white people are white supremacists and have been endangering black and brown lives since America's inception by holding them back through various aspects of oppression. Many churches are going along with this, what they call racial reconciliation. And beyond this, conservative and patriot groups are being singled out by government agencies as terrorists, while a complete blind eye is turned to Antifa and BLM, that actually are domestic terrorist groups. It is now looking like the FBI have not only infiltrated protesters at the Capitol insurrection, but may also have played a much larger role in that. And I have links in the transcript. The goal of CRT is to elevate and enrich blacks while vilifying whites and really oppressing whites. It's the classic Marxist strategy of pitting groups against one another to overthrow a society by first fomenting agitation. The Marxist playbook has not changed because it works. It has always worked by engendering jealousy into society so that cultures and races begin looking at other cultures and races with a jaundiced eye and eventually insist on some form of reparations. This does nothing but create ill will, anger, and hatred. Solely based on skin color, it gives birth to a get-or-kill mentality that pits people against one another, all based on perceived wrongs. And doesn't the Bible teach that no one is worthy of the kingdom of God if they put their hand to the plow and look back? Luke 9:62. Yet Marxists know that they can create chaos through society if they can agitate certain groups to constantly look back, complaining about wrongs done to some of their ancestors. It has worked every time in history and promises to work again to bring the entire world under the control of the evil one in the final world government of Daniel 2. Now, as you read through the Psalms, you find that they are filled with prayers and requests, as well as praise to God for what he will eventually do to the wicked. The day of judgment that he has determined will arrive, and all the people who think they are getting away with things now will be faced with their evil reality, and they will be judged because of it. That day is certainly coming. It is written in stone. Well, what makes it so difficult for average Christians at times is wondering when it's going to occur. It seems like it'll never happen, right? Many Psalms sigh heavily about this same problem, and that was way back then. But as Peter says, a day with the Lord is like a thousand years. 2 Peter 2:3-8, excuse me. See also Psalm 90:4. But this is so different, really, from the way things will be during the physical reign of Jesus starting at the end of the tribulation, which his coming brings to an end, by the way, when he will deal with things at that moment, as they happen, which is why his rule will be with a rod of iron. Psalm 2:9, Revelation 2:7. Now that's fascinating to me, and I think I understand the timing involved here. Now, God reigns from outside our timeline, doesn't he? He's not restricted by time as we understand it, and because he himself is eternal and outside of time, though he can certainly come into our timeline whenever he chooses without corrupting his eternal character, he has specifically set a day when he will pour out judgment onto the earth and its citizens for all the wrongs that have been done in rejecting his rule, Psalm 2. Now, ultimately, beyond this, each person who dies without Jesus will also face him and will be fully judged for all their sin. These specific days and times are set by God for some future date, from our perspective at least, not his. But they will occur for us living in our time. Well, it just seems so long in the making, doesn't it? It seems that in this life, too many people get away with their crimes and they just continue on as though God doesn't even exist. And once again, the Psalms complain of the same thing. For example, Psalm 104:35. Many of those Psalms, though, end with the assurance that judgment is in God's hand and he will avenge. He will do so in his time and in his way as creator of this universe and all things in it. Only God can judge righteously, and we long for it. However, what will be different when Jesus physically reigns on and over this earth as king is the fact that he will be physically present on this earth in our timeline. Everyone alive then will see him. They will interact with him. They will either obey his royal decrees or they will experience his temporal judgment. Depending on the infraction, it may result in their death right then and there. Notice the difference. Jesus will deal with things immediately because he will be ruling in real time, our time. But for now, God keeps track of everything that happens here, thought, word, and deed, for each person, and has set a specific time when he will deal with all of those infractions. It will be done. I should just call it what it is. All that sin. It will be done, and we should never think that he is slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3. We know that he waits by setting a future date of judgment because he wants no one to perish. During the millennial kingdom, when Jesus physically reigns, if he were to allow any sin to go unpunished, havoc would be created, followed by anarchy. It wouldn't be long before society would then start to sink. Now, of course, even if he did delay in judgment, allowing some sense of lawlessness to occur, which he would not, he could easily squash that as he will during the very end of his millennial kingdom when Satan is loosed from the bottomless pit to gather forces against Jesus and his saints, Revelation 20. But during the millennial kingdom, Jesus will nip every problem in the bud. Isn't that good news? The fact, though, that people will still sin then, and sometimes egregiously enough to warrant the death penalty, is tragic. This is in spite of the fact that Satan will be locked up in the bottomless pit during the millennial kingdom, which tells us that our sin nature all by itself is rebellious and can and does create havoc. But what does this have to do with churches today? What does it have to do with everything in society in 2021? Well, it simply means that as the world marches toward the final global government, aspects of that government are overtaking society now. And that includes churches. How many churches do you personally know that complied and closed their doors during what was originally to be a 15-day period to slow the spread, which became months and months of lockdown? In our area, I can only think of two that did not lock down at all. There may have been others, but I only know of two. How many pastors do you know who received the CV jab, maybe because they didn't want, they wanted to be all things to all people? yet they didn't research it enough to know the potential dangers of this particular vaccine that really winds up producing the spike protein in your body, quite possibly overwhelming your entire system. How many churches do you know that took PPP money from the government to keep things afloat? Why the apparent lack of discernment? Why not rely on Jesus instead of the government? You know, we have a new president now than the one who, under which the funds were provided to the church originally. What if the rules change retroactively now so that certain things are required of those churches that took money? There appears to be a growing discernment dearth. For the lack of putting it another way, Christians, by and large, are failing to see the signs. I'm guessing it's because they're failing to read his word or have that word expositionally preached to them. For too long, it seems that seeker-sensitive churches have, quote-unquote, warmed hearts while not educating believers or professing Christians. The result is a growing tide of churchgoers who cannot distinguish between truth and lies. Christian, we need to do better. We must seek to understand and even come to delight in the fear of offending the Lord. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Psalm 103:17. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I pray until we meet again that God would open your eyes to the blessings that you have in him and the need to grow in fear of him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.